I thought of a lot of catchy titles for the message that I have planned this week to bring to our congregation. And some of them were really catchy and quite unique, but I decided I'd just let you have it all at one time by telling you I'm going to talk about money. You won't have to figure out where I'm going then, okay? Not to get on to you or anything of that nature. Our church is a very generous church. It's not the largest church that I've ever pastored, but it surely is one of the greatest. Perhaps the greatest church I've ever pastored sits right here this morning. And I thank God for you. This morning, as Brother Gerald and I were in the vestibule, people started coming up, driving up the parking lot and coming in, and we'd mark, oh, aren't those good people? That's a fine person. Is that right, Brother George? That's wonderful, you know? So I really do rejoice and thank God for the goodness and generosity and the soundness of our congregation. So this is not probably going to be what you thought it would be. But anyway, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, Jesus tells us, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There are two factors that are mentioned here that are opposing factors, and they are God and mammon. And mammon is not necessarily money. It's not cash. It may be what money can buy as much as it is money itself. And then there are two principles or two guiding sources for our use of our money and the amount of faith or confidence that we put into it. And these are illustrated as light and darkness. That is, you can be guided by light or you can be guided by darkness. So think with me about this. If you are guided by mammon, then you're guided by darkness. If you're guided by light, then you are guided by the truths of God. You're guided by a light that will shine and guide us into a place where we will have heavenly treasures. Many times we are not conscious of the fact that we're being guided by a power that is outside of ourselves that is guiding us to tragedy. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to teach His disciples. And we're His disciples. We're His learners. We need to know what Jesus teaches us about the things that guide us. They are the thing that guides us and something that is so very, very important. I cannot think of a time when there's been more uncertainty. Because I do not remember the Great Depression. I was a child of the Great Depression, but I do not recall except some of the after effects of it in 38, 39, 40, along there, just before World War II. But I see now a lot of real concern, a lot of real confusion about money and what it should mean to us, and how we should be looking upon money. I think that what I have learned about money is that it is a good servant, but it is a poor master. Money can be a good servant, and it is a good servant. But if you ever make money your master, then it becomes a very hard master, and you become its slave. And there's a tremendous difference in money being your slave to serve you, to accomplish what you want to accomplish, and to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished in the kingdom of God. We have seen money for what it is. We've seen mammon for what it is. And it is our servant. We put it to use. We don't want to get so confused that money becomes our master and we become its slave, so that we now are serving it. And I think this is what Jesus is talking about. He said, you cannot serve two masters. Money cannot be your slave and your master. God cannot be your master and mammon your master. That creates an impossible situation. So we need to investigate what Jesus taught His disciples. We are His disciples. We need to know what He taught His disciples during His personal ministry, so that we can learn, we can use money for what God has given it to us for, and we can bless ourselves and bless others, and it can be our servant rather than being our master. As we look at these scriptures, you'll notice that Jesus taught His disciples about charitable giving. And it's spoken of as alms in verse 2 of the same chapter, Matthew chapter 6. They are not to do as the hypocrites do, call a lot of attention to themselves, but they are to give and do their charitable giving in secret, so that God will see them and will reward them publicly. Jesus taught them about prayer, how to pray privately in secret, and then how to pray publicly. That is, briefly, and use plural pronouns that includes others, such as our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. That's the example that He gave us for public prayer. That in private prayer we can pray for whatever we choose, however personal it may be. But in public prayer we pray for those things that are general and that apply to every person. Forgive our sins, give us this day our daily bread. These are general things that all men can be in prayer about. So there's two really examples of prayer, one for private, one for public. And then Jesus taught them about money. And that ought not to surprise us that our Lord would, quote, lower Himself to talk to us about money or about things and having things and not letting things have us. You know, there's a big difference in having something and something having you. It's wonderful to have a business, but it is a lot of pain and trouble when a business has you. So we need to understand that there's a way to separate these, so that what we are doing is a means rather than the means using us. And this is, I think, what Jesus taught these people here. Life and money are undeniably intertwined. You know, when somebody says, I'm just not interested in money, they're either lying or they're crazy. Okay? You need to be interested in money. You ought to be interested in money. In fact, money is very interesting. Okay? You say, well, I'm just not interested in money. One of the real problems that preachers normally have is, you know, charging for weddings, because we don't like to charge for weddings. because we're afraid people will think we're money grubbers, you know. So the old time preachers worked out a sort of a way of saying, yeah, you can pay me, and you can pay me more than you thought you ought to, because when the groom said, how much do I owe you, preacher? The preacher would say, well, whatever you think she's worth. Now, sometimes they'd give him $2, but sometimes they caught the dilemma and gave another $2. So whatever you think she's worth ought to be worth more than $2. That was funny, okay? We are interested in money, ought to be interested in money. We ought to think about earning, and we ought to think about what we do with our earnings. And this is what Jesus has said here about what we earn. That's a very common thing. It's what we all do. It's what we're all involved in. It involves our children, families, church, our nation. And thank God, April the 15th, we all get reminded of a lot of other things that has to do with money. But there's a specific prohibition that Jesus lays before his disciples. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And here again is this things that are opposite, this dichotomy. There are things on earth and there are things in heaven. There are things that rule you and there are things that you rule. There's the being led by darkness and being led by light. There's these circumstances that Jesus lays before his disciples. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. There's a very simple observation that Jesus has made about life during his lifetime. That is, if you decide to keep that which is made of cloth, wool, or whatever material they had, and it's very valuable, and there were some very valuable garments, such as the robe that Jesus had at one time, and you're going to store it, you have to remember that there are moths who are going to eat holes in it and they're going to destroy it. So when you take your treasure and you decide you're going to keep it, you have to be very, very careful. And then he uses the example of thieves or rust and decay. Things generally deteriorate in value. At this particular time, most of the homes were made out of mud brick, and thieves could chisel through in a rather brief period of time and sneak into a house and steal what was valuable. It was subject to deterioration. It was subject to being ruined, to being rusted. So Jesus wanted to remind them that there are treasures that you can have that are valuable, but with a storing, they can lose their value and be ruined. And then in verse 20, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do we do that? How do we lay up for our treasure, lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Now, treasures in heaven, they are not affected by moths or rust. They are not corrupted, and thieves do not break through and steal. So they're safe. Whatever our treasures that we lay up in heaven are, they are safe. They're not going to disintegrate. They're not going to go down in value. And then Jesus gives us an extraordinary principle or observation. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasures have to do with everything, or all of your treasure has to do with what's on this earth during your lifetime, it is transit. It's not going to last. Somebody else is probably going to spend it. So you ought to think about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, valuable things, because you'll have that when everything else is gone. When you leave this earth, you'll have it. Now, if your treasures are in heaven, your heart, or what you think about, what you are concerned about, will be focused in that direction. But if your treasures are here on earth, then you're going to focus your attention and your energy upon those things that are upon earth. So Jesus is trying to tell these people, look, Take some time to figure out what's eternal. Look at what lasts forever. Look at what is valuable not only here, but in the hereafter. And put those in the heavens, and then your mind and your energy and your thoughts are going to be directed toward that which is heavenly and eternal rather than that which is earthly and temporary. It's good for us to think about what's going on the earth. We need to know what's going on the earth. But what's going on the earth ought to be outweighed by what we know is going on in heaven, what we know will go on in heaven. And therefore, we ought to do things that accrue to a heavenly account rather than doing things that are just sensual and carnal and earthly. Now, that's not as easy as it may have seemed when I went through it that casually. Oh, well, I see that, sure. Now, it's going to start. Laying up treasures in heaven is going to have us, if I understand it correctly, things that are called rewards. Things, as one preacher said that I heard this morning, I thought it was very observant, and that is, works and what you do for God will not get you into heaven, but they follow you into heaven. They don't open the way, they follow. Their works do follow them. They're not what we show God to get into heaven, but our works are what follow us into heaven, and we receive rewards for that. So we're talking about not just giving money to the church. We're talking about our whole lifestyle of being open-handed toward the poor, of being generous toward that which is righteous and good and holy and godly, of being generous with our church, being generous with things that have to do with that which is eternal. Now, a very, very brief statement. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll just be quite frank with you. If I knew where there was $3 or $4 million in gold coins, if I knew the specific spot where that was, I'd think about that spot a lot. In fact, I'd be heading that direction. If I knew specifically and absolutely where a certain treasure was, I'd be thinking about it. I'd be planning on how I could go get it and I could put it in my account. It would be of terrific interest to me. I don't know how much treasure I've laid up in heaven. It involves a lot of things, motive and love and playing by the rule book. You know, God doesn't just accept everything we do outside His rule book, which is this book here. You know, if you got to play by the rules in order to make points in sports, and you got to play by the rules, and which is the Word of God, in order to lay up treasure in heaven. And a lot of people think they're laying up treasure in heaven, but they're not playing by the rule book. You're not doing it like God says. And then Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. That is, the eye is that which guides us, which furnishes us with the ability to see that which is good, to see that which is bad, to see that which is dangerous, to see that which is blessing. So it is that which illuminates the whole body. If therefore the eye is single, and that's the word that means not duplex. You know, we talk about a house that is a duplex where it has places for two families to live. Well, that's what this word means, if that it's a simplex. Very simple, very plain. Perhaps they were talking about double vision. Perhaps they were talking about cataracts. People did have eye problems back at this time, much like we do today as we grow older. But if the eye of man is healthy, and not suffering from injury or disease, the body can be flooded with light and therefore guided properly. If thine eye be single, if it's not injured, if it is not in any way hindered by other things that have happened, an injury or something of that nature, or just, as I said, cataract. If it is just the eye itself, undiseased and functioning as it should. If the the light of the body is the eye, that's how we're going to get direction. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, now there's not any difficulty in seeing that, but it is rather strange, or rather, I think, easily to understand that Jesus, as he spoke this, used the word that we use to describe pornography, is porne. So Jesus said, if your eye is porne, if it's like pornography, which does mean evil, but it means that which we desire because of what we see. And so our bodies, if we see through pornography, our whole body is affected and evil. And it's not just talking about pictures, photographs, paintings. He's talking about looking at life through that which is of the flesh and is of the carnal and has to do with desire. If our eye is single, and that single is the work of God, the truth of God, then our whole body is going to be flooded with light and we're going to be able to function well. But if our eye is evil, everything we see and look for is to satisfy and gratify the flesh, then Jesus says that that's darkness. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Your entire body will be dark. Why? Because we're looking at the world through a lens that is affected by that which is evil and that which is ungodly. Now, do you see what Jesus is teaching his people? Look at life through the right lens, single lens. Don't look at life through that which is carnal and of the flesh. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That is, if what you need is light, and it's really not light, it's just dark, then the whole body is flooded with darkness, and it is a greatness. It is not a minor issue to be blind, and he's not talking about a literal physical blindness, but he's talking about the way you value things. You look at it with your single eye, you see value that is spiritual, eternal, and of great benefit. You look at it with the evil eye, and that's where we get the phrase, the evil eye. Look at it with the evil eye, you see the carnal, the temporary, that which will lead astray, which will destroy. So you can be guided by light or you can be guided by darkness. Now, no man can serve two masters. See, these are all connected. They're not disjointed parables, not just disjointed proverbs that have no connection one to another. We are terribly hindered when we try, and this is sort of a difficult circumstance, but we try to look with one eye that's single and one eye that's dark, one eye that's evil. We're trying to, one eye doesn't function, the other eye does function, and we're trying to look at the world through dysfunctional and functional. One carnal, one is spiritual, one is light, one is darkness. It's going to confuse us terribly. It's going to really confuse us. But what Jesus is saying, that no man can serve two masters. In other words, if you mix this up, then it's going to confuse you, and you're going to finally decide, oh, I'll give my loyalty to this. I'll give my loyalty to the porno or porne. I'll give my loyalty to the singleness of the eye, which is to see, to do things well. Sooner or later, our loyalty will slide to one of these philosophies that we've developed, one of these seeings, one of these eyes is going to be favored. We're going to favor the evil eye. We're going to favor the light, the eye that gives light to the whole body. So we have to make up our mind, are we going to follow the light or are we going to follow the darkness? Are we going to be motivated by laying up treasures in heaven? Are we going to be motivated by laying up treasures on earth? Which one is going to become the most important to us? He said, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Sooner or later, he's going to form an opinion and a loyalty to one or the other, because you can't be loyal to both of them, because here's what Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot enslave yourself to Almighty God, to have treasure in heaven, and at the same time enslave yourself to the dark side of your life and let it be a master also. You cannot let the dark side of you be a master and the light side of you be a master. They cannot coexist. You'll love one, you will love the light and hate the darkness. You will love the darkness and hate the light. And this is what Jesus means by you cannot serve two masters. Trying to serve two masters will create so much tension and stress in you. It'll create so much disloyalty toward one of these and loyalty to the other until your life's going to be terribly confused. So Jesus said, look at life through the single eye. Thank God I can do that. And the dark is really dark. So I don't know why I'm standing on good Bible ground or just got hurt when I was a kid. I don't know. How do you view life? How are you looking at life? What will you think in the morning when you get up? What will be the center or the motivating factor of your existence here on earth? You say, well, sometimes I do get off on the dark side. I understand that. But if you let that dark side be your master, then you become a slave to the evil things of life. And look, folk, let's just stop for a minute and enumerate them for a minute. Dope, chemicals, alcohol, and pornography, all these things, if you let that take over your life, you're going to live in darkness, maybe even literally. There is a lifestyle in America now. We're fighting meth and all these other. That's what we're talking about. What's going to drive you? What are you going to work for? What are you going to sacrifice for? Are you going to lose your job and you're going to rob and steal in order to get a little money to satisfy this dark side that Jesus spoke of? Is that what you're going to do? Maybe get behind, steal some money? You can't go down that route. You can't let yourself be a servant to the dark side of yourself. You've got to let you've got to let the light side of yourself, heavenly things, be your master, and you be a slave to them, because then you're laying up treasures in heaven. So watch how you view life. Let's stand and sing.